Jetzt ist es endlich soweit. Federica Brignone ist bei uns. Wir freuen uns irrsinnig drauf, dass du heute für uns Zeit hast. Wir wissen, es ist nicht selbstverständlich, vor allem jetzt in der Reha und wird sicher eine sehr stressige Zeit auch für dich sein trotzdem. Danke, danke, dass du bei uns dabei bist und dass wir dich heute bei uns, bei unserem Podcast, Was dahinter steckt, begrüßen dürfen.
Dieser Podcast wird präsentiert von Steiermark.
Das grüne Herz.
Ja, liebe Fede, ich darf mich gleich anschließen. Vielen Dank, dass du dir Zeit nimmst und auch teilweise versuchen wirst, auf Deutsch zu antworten. Und wenn es nicht ist, dann switchen wir zwischendurch einfach aufs Englische. Ist halb so schlimm. Und ja, vielen Dank für deine Zeit. Du bist die erfolgreichste Gästin, die was wir da haben. Und ja, ich würde gleich mal sagen, Conny, start mal los.
Ciao, Fede. Wie geht's dir? Wie ist dein Sommer? Natürlich und auch leider ein bisschen anders als die letzten Jahre, aber wie läuft es bei dir, deine Therapie und wie waren die letzten Monate?
So, es war nicht einfach für 5 Monate jetzt und ich habe nur Rehab gemacht. So, für mich ist es war eine andere Sommer, nicht meine Lieblingssommer, aber ja, ich war lange in Torino. And yes, so I switched to English. I'm sorry, it's easier. After the accident, so the first month I was completely almost not moving, but I started right away with my rehab. And actually, I wanted to do some fun things after the season, and it changed. So it's completely different from other years. Now I'm working really hard for my body, for myself, to come back and also to have my life back, you know.
Ich spreche wieder auf Deutsch, wenn das okay ist. Wir switchen immer etwas hin und her. Es war deine erfolgreichste Weltcup-Saison im letzten Jahr. Du hast jetzt 37 Weltcup-Siege. Also du bist mit Abstand der bekannteste und erfolgreichste Gast in unserem Podcast. Du hast 85 Podestplätze erreicht. Und das Erste, was mir noch eingefallen ist dazu, ist, deine Mama ist auch eine sehr erfolgreiche Skirennläuferin gewesen. Sie ist auch bei vielen Rennen dabei. Wie ist es, als Tochter so einer berühmten Persönlichkeit in die Fußstapfen zu treten und auch so erfolgreich sein zu dürfen?
So actually, it has been not easy for the media, for example, but for me, it's been easy because my family, it's amazing. We have been doing a lot of things together. So also my brother was a skier and my dad, he was a coach and a ski instructor, but actually they never pretend from us to be skiers. So they just brought us to do a lot of sports, water sports and also climbing and tennis and golf and a lot of things. So we were doing sports with my family and this was really amazing. And as I said before, they never pretend us to be skiers or to be champions. So actually when I moved to the mountains at the age of 6, I started with the ski club. And from there on, I was with the ski club. But for me, it was really important not that my parents didn't have any voices on my way, on my skiing, on my story as a skier. And actually, I was a skier because I loved the company and I loved people around me and all the coaches. I was having a lot of fun and I was keen for that when I was a kid. And in Italy, I was not even top 50. So I was just enjoying and this was really fun. And then I started to be a better athlete when I entered the FIS racing. And yeah, media was, they were asking a lot from my mom but she was, yeah, just being a mom for me. So it's, I really thank my family because they never pushed me to be a skier. And this was easier for me because I was doing my way. And yeah, that was really important.
You said your mom is your mom for you and not a famous ski racer. And you told us also for your brother. What he is for you, he's a coach, he's with you the whole seasons, but he is your brother or he's your coach, or it depends on winter or summer.
my brother, he's for sure my brother, but when we are working together. And the since I have him, actually I've been reaching a lot of results, and I became a better athlete and a better person, I have to say. He helped me a lot with the attitude, with some things to do for my life and also to become a better athlete. He believed in me a lot. And also, I think he's really good on the slope. So he helped me a lot with the slope. But when it's not work, he's my brother. We're having a lot of fun together. And we are really good at separate both things. So it's, but for sure he understands me right away when I'm on slope. He knows exactly how I'm feeling and what I'm feeling, because he can feel it. He's my brother, you know. And we have been always like a good friends since we are kids. So sometimes it's not easy to work with your family. Actually, I didn't want to have not my mom, not my dad with me for this. But with him, it's something different.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah, that's really special, because I don't know anyone else who has his brother always on the side. So is it a problem in the team? When your brother is always with you, or was it at the start of your career a problem in the team?
So he came with me in 2017, and actually it was a big problem. It started I was not really feeling good. So I went for a week not with my team to the speed events. So I needed some people for GS training, and he came with me, and actually I felt something, and I said, oh, you're really helpful. He just decided to leave to finish his career, because he had a lot of problems with knees and injuries, and he just came with me to help, and actually he helped me a lot. And so I said, okay, I want to have you around if it's okay. And actually, it was a big problem with the federation. They understood it, but for some reasons, I understand it's really difficult to have somebody outside from the federation to help. But my results were telling that he was really important for me and for my results. So so for the first 5-6 years, I paid everything for my brother. We organized everything. We did everything by our own. I mean, financially and yes. So after results, they said okay, he can come, but it was always not really good seen. But and then they decided to give best athletes someone like a coach each. So for me, for Sofia and for Marta, and so I decided for my coach, and I asked to have my brother. So now he's in the federation, and actually even for me it's easier, because I don't have to fight to have him and to demonstrate that this is a good choice. And yeah, actually since he's with me, I made all my best results ever. So it's I think it was always a good choice.
Und vor allem die letzte Saison, ich habe ein bisschen auf Wikipedia im Internet gesucht, und da ist gestanden, dass im Jänner in St. Anton dein 30. Weltcup-Sieg war. Und dann insgesamt 37. Und dann habe ich mir gedacht, ah, das muss ein Fehler sein, weil 30 im Jänner und im März ist die Weltcup-Saison zu Ende und du hast aber 37 und also du hast ab Jänner noch 6 Mal gewonnen, wirklich unglaublich und du hast auch mit St. Anton den ersten Weltcup-Sieg in der Abfahrt, was für uns Speedler ist klar, die Abfahrt bedeutet uns sehr, sehr viel, von der Schmiede und mir. Aber was bedeutet die Abfahrt für dich?
Es war eine Überraschung für mich. Ich habe volle arbeitet mit meinem Bruder, um ein bisschen mehr schnell am Flach zu sein. Und es war eine Arbeit von 3 Jahre. Und ich war ein bisschen gut am Technik Splits, aber nicht am Flach. Und ich habe volle arbeitet mit ihm und wir haben ja volle getragt. Und aber es war für mich sehr, weiß es nicht, eine Träum, weil ich habe nie gedacht am Abfahrt zu eine ja, zu eine Podest zu oder eine Ziel zu machen.
Zu gewinnen.
Ja, zu gewinnen, ja. Nie. Und ja, it was like crazy.
But now it's crazy, you have the crystal globe for downhill.
Ich weiß, es ist nicht, I don't know. I have to tell you, my technician said in November, oh, you're going, actually I was skiing really good. All summer, it's been 2 years and some downhills. I was really fast even last year and I've been second like a lot of times. But, and he saw me, I don't know, in November, he said, oh, you're winning the globe. And I said, you're crazy. This is not happening. And yeah. And I said, no, it's impossible. And actually, if you remember, Connie, I was first after the first training in Beaver Creek and this made me like a mega pressure on myself because I said, oh, actually I could try to win, you know, or I could be good in downhill. And then yeah, in that downhill, I was like completely blocked with my legs. I had too much pressure from myself. And then going on with the season, I said, yeah, I actually got the red bib in Cortina, and then I said, okay, so I will do once in my life one race with the red bib in downhill, but this is the only one, you know. So I never thought it was makeable, and yeah, for sure we didn't race in La Tuile and in San Valle, so this was something also, but for sure in La Tuile it was a great possibility for me because it's my home and it's kind of my slope, and so yeah, it was all to play, but you know how skiing is it, and for me it was the craziest thing that happened in my life.
So I'm really a little bit surprised that you were blocked in Beaver Creek, because the training run were really awesome, and you in the first training run, you have been more than 1 second in front of the other girls.
You skied so amazing. I saw the video from the steep part and I thought, oh my God, what she's doing here, that's not skiing, that's something else.
I don't know, I you know, when, because this is a bit my problem, it has been during the years, when I know I can do it, it actually become like really, then I'm afraid to not do it, or I have to do it. So when I realize I am fast enough for, like, you know, I didn't win any downhill, so this was what kind of one of the dreams of the season and one of the goals that I set before the season. I said I want to try to win a downhill in my life, and then I saw it like a first day. I was 1 and more second ahead, and I said, "Oh wow, this is so I can do it." And actually, this was a big problem for me. Not an help, but it was a big problem. So, yeah, during the race, I I wanted too much. And so I become like a stiff and I just want to put too much power with my legs and on my skis. And I'm not gliding. I'm not letting my skis go. And this is really not good for the downhill. Actually, I discovered that the more calm I am and the more, the less I do, but, when I don't want to go fast in down, it gets better.
It's nice to hear that everyone has the same problems. It's
it's normal.
It's really nice because I think we are all the same.
Yeah. At the end, we are human, you know. We are humans. So it's never easy when you have to... Actually, we're not doing something really easy. So you already know. And it's when you know you can do it, actually, it becomes even harder to do it.
So you have come to Saalbach as a top favorite. How was the feeling there? So you got the gold medal in the GS, also the silver medal in Super G. How was the world championship for you as a top favorite?
They have been crazy good. I mean, I love Saalbach from the year before and with a lot of sun and a lot of people. Actually, like you live skiing in Austria, it's something for us, like really, for me, it's really good and it gives me a lot of energy. And actually, I was there. I loved the slope, especially for GS. And yeah, I was a bit scared for downhill and Super G. But I lived really good. I arrived there. I felt, I was really good with myself this year. I was really serene and clean with my mind. And I was there and capable of, I don't know, just try to ski at my best. This was really the thing that I was doing this winter. I was not inventing something special. I was actually just putting my 100% skiing. And I was able to make it on the race and in a race, like not easy as the world champs. But for me, I mean, it was easier. We were not in Italy. We were in Austria. So for me, it was a bit more calm, I have to say. And yeah, so I was really happy with the Super G. This was my first medal in Super G ever in a big event. And this was something that I really wanted to make. But I was really surprised because the Super G was not as technical as I like it normally. And the GS, I loved it, but I don't know, I was... Yeah, it's when I rewatched the race later on that day or the next day, I don't remember. I really don't know. It's I was really focused. I was really good with myself, as I said before. I was just, I don't know how I made it to think just about my skiing, and this was the most incredible thing. And for the downhill, everybody was saying, "Oh, you're one of the maybe the winners," and I said, no, I don't think so. I already knew it was really difficult to make a great result there, but I tried my best and that's it. But I was serene with myself.
Before you talked about some dreams, also a dream come true to win a downhill race. What's not on the slopes in winter, you have also dreams... Yeah, and private things, hobbies. No one knows really about Federica Brignone.
That's true. So I'm I love to make sports around, and I love outdoor sports and nature. And actually, I spend my time, my free time for sure, when I'm not training to make. Some I love more adrenaline sports, as you can tell, as a skier. So last summer I was trying to make every weekend some downhill, mountain bike downhill, or like and spend a lot of time with friends. This is also something that I really love. So my house is always open. I have somebody around a lot of times, and Yes, actually, I also love water sports. So every year I try to go on vacation in a place where I can surf or kite surf. And but this summer I had to cancel my trip. So yeah, that summer, like spring. And yeah, so in the summer I spent time home in Aosta Valley. And that's it. But one of talking about dreams, I hope now it's for now, like my latest dream is to come back as I was before, like physically, like to be able to make all the sports that I love. Also tennis, I play with my friends when I can. And so this is one of my dreams lately, is that really to come back doing everything that I love and to recover completely. But also after my career is to travel the world. I would like to take some time really to travel, not because we didn't travel a lot, but because we can't decide how much time we have to spend in one place. So if I want to be like 3 months in a place, this is the only thing that I was missing from my life. I really have no regrets of being an athlete and being a skier. I loved every minute of it. And yeah, so I want to take a year or maybe something more until I'm done with for traveling, for surfing around, for having something like a free time exploring sports and places where I've never been. And then we'll see, maybe having a family. This would be amazing. I loved my family and I still love them and I do a lot of things with them. So I would like to maybe have one. And I have some ideas for works. I have a lot of ideas for now, and I have just to test them because I would like to live again for something that I love and I believe in.
A lot of things to do.
Yes, as always.
Stop getting boring.
No, I have to tell you, even in that period, in this 5 months, I've never been bored. This is crazy. I thought it was more boring, but actually I was never bored.
Yeah. But also for mentally, it's when I thinking about my time with rehab and to come back, it's always good to have something to do, and also the time fly, because then you're mentally fine, you're happy, you have something to do and not sitting and waiting. That's the most boring thing, and that's really annoying. So it's nice to hear that also in this situation you make the best out of it.
Yeah, then you know, both of you have been like injured a lot of times and not easy ones, so I know you can understand. And it's I mean, at the beginning it was really not easy to move, even to move, and I've been 3 months with the crutches. And then also the walking haven't been so good until now. So it's, I don't know, I'm missing all the sports. But for sure, I was really training. I was really focusing on rehab and exercises all the time that I had, and also having friends around and making things that I can't do normally. But actually, I thought I had more time, I don't know, to read, to play guitar. But actually, I didn't. It was more busy than ever. And this is crazy. I don't know how. I don't know how.
Du suchst ein einfaches Tool, um besser zu regenerieren. Dann habe ich es für dich. Es ist die Regmatte von SN Sports, von mir, von Niki Schmidhofer. Einfach drauflegen mit dem Rücken, mit den Beinen, mit dem Nacken. So lösen sich Verspannungen. Dir wird es besser gehen und du wirst auch wieder besser schlafen. Hol sie dir jetzt auf essensports.at. My thought was, when I saw your crash, what did you think this moment? So because I knew what I was thinking about after my crash, 2 or 3 seconds later, I was thinking, so, oh shit, no world championship in Cortina for me, because that's more than just a small thing in my knee. But you have your best career season ever. and then the big crash. What was your first thought after that?
That's a good question. It was, I don't know, actually it was a bit of pain. And then I said, I think I broke something. And at the beginning I wanted to stand up and I don't know, see what was happening, but I realized that my leg was not going the right way. So actually, I don't know. I said maybe that time I had, I don't know, I wasn't thinking. But after that, I mean, after half an hour when I was waiting the helicopter, I said, okay, it's over. Maybe my mind and my body didn't want to ski or to be an athlete anymore. Why this? Normally I don't know, in my career before, all the small or the other injuries that I had were because I was in a bad moment or I was too stressed or I wanted something too much or I was not good with myself. And this time was completely different. I was really good with myself. It was the best time of my life. And I don't know, I was completely asking myself, why? And this was the thing that I was thinking the most. So, yeah.
Did you already find the answer why?
Not so much. Sometimes, because I asked, maybe you were, I don't know, at the national champs and sometimes you don't warm up so good or the night before you have been out with others. And actually, no, actually I was coming from home. I was tired. So I spent the night home and like in the hotel and I exactly warmed up like always. And I said, yeah, it's really important. It's the end of the season. So you have to be even more focused, you know, because it's popular. So I don't really have any answer to this. The only thing I said, it's maybe having the Olympics at home, it's really stressful. And everybody was asking me from Milano Cortina since 6 years. And I didn't know what to say. And I said, skiing is, you don't know until you're there. And then it's really, I don't know. And you know, I'm 35, so I didn't know even if I was able to arrive to Milano Cortina. So maybe it was this stress. The only answer that I have is that maybe my body didn't want to have all this stress and my mind also. I don't know. This is the only thing that I can think about. But it's really not easy to find the question that the why is. I mean, I could have done like normal tibia and fibula or just the knee, but actually I made something that you're not sure to come back walking right again. So it's kind of, I don't know. It's a bit different, you know.
You're talking about a tough time and also thank you that you're so honest to us and also with that emotions and everything. I think we know it's not easy and also talk about it's even harder. And to look a little bit in the future, what do you think? What are your plan about skiing? You have some plans or it's really step by step also in the Riha right now?
Yeah, so as I said, I'm almost 4 weeks to the second surgery. It was not really a surgery, but it was a cleaning and checkup with my knee. So actually I'm really happy because my tibia is going good and this was the biggest problem at the beginning. But we don't have any plan for skiing actually. It's kind of still complicated to put on weight on my leg. So it's day by day. We're really working really hard. I'm making a lot of work. But for sure, my dream, like after that 20 minutes that I told you before, actually I said, no, it's me that decides when it's over with alpine skiing. So, and being an athlete, and I, for sure, this is a challenge and another challenge for my life. And I want to try to come back. This is for sure something that I want. And yeah, so my dream is to come back for the winter. For sure, it's not easy, like talking with everybody, like a surgeon. And yeah, it's not really an easy thing. It's still a dream, but yeah, but I'm working hard to get it.
I got a little bit of a flashback when you say that they say it's maybe not possible to do skiing again, and they don't know how we can be if we have a big goal in front of us, what we can do and what is possible for us. So sport people are different than some other people. So I believe in you that you will come back, and I believe in you, you will be back also next season, because you're a fighter and you have also a tiger on your helmet. So maybe you can tell us why you have a tiger on your helmet.
Well, thank you, Nietzsche. And I have a tiger in my helmet because it's a long story. Actually, we train with so I have a physical trainer at home, and we used to train in his garage. And this is the cave of the tiger. It's called like that. So he started to call us. We were three girls training with him, saying, "Oh, you're the tigers," and like that. And also in the team, for my attitude, for my way to be on slope, they called me like this. So before the World Champs in Meribel, actually, I thought it was my last season in World Cup. And I asked, so it was my idea actually like that. And I said, okay, so can I make like a special helmet just for me for the World Champs? And they said, okay, that's good. So I decided to make it. And actually, since then, I didn't want to race with another helmet again. So it was, I don't know, it was me. It was really special and so good to watch. Like my helmet, when I see it from outside, I love it. It was so well made and how I wanted to be that I couldn't change it anymore.
So now you told something about it. Why did you think about to end your career after Meribel? That's a little bit crazy for me now to hear that.
It was 2 years with COVID before, and it was really not, you know, I'm somebody that needs to have fun around and to be part of a group, to spend time with the other people and to really have a family and, like, I don't know, to spend time with other people and to do normal things. And without that, we were just skiing for skiing, to be an athlete, just training for training and just training for results. And this was not me. And I didn't like it. And for me, it was really hard. I couldn't have much fun. So I said, okay, I'm done. I made good seasons and I'm like done. It's okay. I finished this year and I want to travel. This was already my idea. And then going through the season, I started having a lot of fun again, and because that season was open again. So at the end of the season, I was having so much fun and I was caring too much. You remember in Soldeo in Giant Slalom, I was skiing really good, and I went out that day. It was the end of the season, the last race, and I was so pissed. I was so mad with myself because I was going out and skiing really good that I said, okay, I can't end my career because I still care too much and I still want too much to show myself that I'm able to ski fast, you know. So I had to continue. But from that day on, I said, okay, I just want to enjoy. I will try my best, but I don't want to be too hard with myself too. So the last two seasons have been amazing since that time.
Conny, bist noch da? Conny? Okay.
Okay, ciao Conny.
Okay, die Conny haben wir mal ausgeschalten. So every one of us was lucky that you did not finish at the last race in Soldeu. So that you're here now with us at the Was Dahinter Steckt podcast. And we have sometimes some questions. In Austria, we say entweder oder. So I give you two things and you have to take a choice of one of them.
Okay.
Okay. So I will start. What do you prefer? Pizza or pasta?
Pizza.
Conny, bist du schon da?
Ja, ich bin da. Vino rosso o bianco?
Rosso.
Downhill or no, not super cheap. Downhill or giant slalom?
Giant slalom.
That hurts.
I'm sorry, but you know what? Just to explain a little bit, it's not the only thing is that you have two runs, and it's for me harder to make it one day in two runs. So it's it gives me more when it comes in GS, you know. But for training, for sure, downhill and speed is so much fun.
Nice.
Ay, ay.
Mountains or sea?
Can I choose both?
For sure.
Ich weiß nichts mehr, mein Englisch ist nicht so gut.
But for the one question I have, maybe you told us your secret.
My secret? I already told
yes.
you. No.
No. After this podcast, for sure, I wish you all the best to see that we can see the chicken dance in certain like you did this year or this season. we want to see it again, for sure. And no, it's really a question for skiing. When I analyze your skiing and also to go into a turn to ski to a gate,
Connie?
You always
I lost
on
you,
the
Connie.
Edge.
Yes, me too. So now I have another important question. Do you know Kernöl?
Kernöl.
It's a dressing for your salad. Do you like salad?
Yes.
So maybe you have to try
Kernöl. Yeah, I know it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So we will send it some Kernöl to you.
Maybe that.
Oh, thank
as
you.
As a present for having time for us today.
Yeah, no worries. Really.
Conny?
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Ich habe gerade Kernöl verschenkt.
Aber ich will jetzt kurz meine Frage noch ganz kurz. Das ist mir echt wichtig, weil ich das gerne wissen möchte.
Ja?
Yeah? Can I ask you once again?
Yeah, because I lost you the last part of the question.
Yes, your secret when you racing and when you race or you ski into a gate, you're always on the edge, and when I make some video studio and analyze your turns, what do you think about there's nothing like you sliding or you going a little bit on the side, you are always on the edge. What do you think to go into a turn?
So yes, this was kind of something that I have since I'm a kid, and this is what something that I was looking for. Like for me, skiing is always on the edge. I don't want to go like sliding. This makes me feel bad. I don't know. And, so at the beginning of the, so it comes, it's, I don't know if it's the beginning of the turn or is the end of the turn before, but I really think to have my body on my skis. And I feel the first part of the skis at the beginning of the turn. And I try to make them work from the beginning, from the very, little piece of the beginning of the ski. And from there on, I feel it and I just try to be on the edge and I push it from the beginning. This is the way I try to ski with both skis, actually, a lot. So I filled both skis, not just the exterior one or the interior one. So I hope that I explained. I know it's more a sensation, actually. It's something that I feel, but I try to put my both skis on the edge at the beginning of the turn.
Jetzt wissen wir, es ist Gott gegeben.
Yeah. That's interesting to hear.
I will see if you're doing it right away on the season.
Yeah, I will try it. I will try it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, so I have no more questions, Connie.
No, thank you for your time. It was really interesting also for us to hear you, and also, yes, you hear your emotions. We are really glad that you are fine and make steps forward. It's not always easy. We know how it is, but we are sure you're a tiger and you will make it. And I hope we see us this winter on the slopes again and have a good time and have fun. That's the most important thing.
Thank you so much, girls, for your time and your interest. And yeah, I wish you a good training and good life. And I also so much fun. Yeah, thanks.
Nachdem unser Internet so gewaltig ist, haben wir jetzt das kleine feine Problem, dass wir die Verabschiedung nicht so machen haben können wie gewohnt. Deswegen hört es nur von uns. Und zwar, liebe Conny, bis nächste Woche. Tschüss.
Pussy.
Baba.
Dieser Podcast wurde produziert von Branding Identity.